So we have about 10 minutes or so if people would like to share in the bigger group, either what they shared in the small group or if there's anything else they'd like to share in our group, because I felt like the theme of today has been sort of a contemplating and what how do we contemplate, and then a couple of people were sharing about using it's now, it's now, it's now as a contemplation. And also other Dhamma contemplations like the five subjects of frequent like recollection. I am of the aged, I'm of the nature to age, I'm of the nature to sicken, I'm the nature to die. So that's sort of another contemplation. Yeah. Susie, you had your hand up. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, in our group, it was very quiet, and I was aware of how I was feeling, and I thought about what you'd said about gladness, and as I sat there, as I said, I could feel that I was feeling a little bit, anxious with not speaking, and then I thought, well, if I'm feeling like this when I'm not speaking, then how would I feel if I am speaking? And I thought maybe it would bring some gladness, and it did. It brought some gladness to myself, and that felt really nice because I hadn't really thought of it like that before. I just thought you either don't speak or you do speak. So yeah, and within the group, then it opened up to listening, and just it was a different type of feeling. It was a more it felt, because I decided that it felt more of opening of the heart, rather than normally I'm going to wait, I'm going to wait, I'm not going, not that I do that intentionally, but sometimes maybe we're afraid to open up. But by doing that and just stopping and pausing and waiting and seeing how I felt, I could feel that gladness about it. So thank you for that. And thank you for the talk. It was incredible. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Something so
Susie.
simple.
No, that was excellent. It was you were just demonstrating one of the first things we spoke about of practicing Dhamma in line with Dhamma. Before you'll be like, oh, I'm here, I'm sitting in the group, and I need to speak now. Whereas now you're like, oh, there is a feeling of anxiety. Oh, there's this feeling of anxiety. Well, maybe speaking would bring some gladness. And then you spoke. So your intention was to bring gladness and relieve the suffering rather than, oh, I am here, I should say something useful. I can bring, that you reduced or let go of the sense of self in the whole the process, and then obviously the consequence was gladness, and that's lovely that you demonstrate you shared that with us, and that you feel it too. Yeah, thank you.
I shared something in our group about, you started off with who am I, this question, and when I did an Ajahnamara retreat recently, I got to a place where it didn't seem right to be who, so it was what am I, and then it became what is this, and then it became what's happening here. So then it's like something arises or a thought, I'm realizing I'm in a train of thought, and I go, oh, what's happening here? And I find that really helps to detach from the sort of this attachment to a solid sort of personal and what was coming up on that retreat was like, actually, what this is like just like patterns in nature. They're like grooves, they're like habits, they're like, that's what the self is really. It's nothing more solid than that, just layers of this karma, I suppose, and grooves and patterns and habits and stuff.
That's lovely. Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly. It's like a using those questions to kind of, like I say, the challenge and disentangle and be curious. Oh, yeah. What is this? What is really happening? Sometimes I use this analogy of like You're like an alien. You just landed on the earth. You don't know anything what's happening. You just like day one. Oh, what is this? What? And all you've got is the map of the moon. So you really don't know. So you're kind of like, oh, what is this?
And it is like that, isn't it? We're born into this flow that never stops, apart from maybe when you sit meditation a bit and you get a bit of a break and you get a bit of a grip on what it is. Nobody tells you. You're just born as a baby. Your parents don't know much better because they're just doing their best in this constant flow. So it isn't like.
And you're caught, flow is a good word, isn't it? You're caught up in that same story that everyone is following, and you just follow it without questioning. I think as a kid you probably did question, but then the force is so big that you do carry and just go.
And you had wonder, and you did look at the drops going down the window.
I remember I remember memories from about 8 or 10 where I did wonder, and I did question, who does this body belong to? Because the kids do, isn't it? And it didn't get an answer that then. Because back then you haven't really created a sense of who you are yet as much, because you only had a few years of life. And Najanamra was just sharing a couple of days ago that his sister was a nurse, and she said when kids were dying, she said they didn't need much counseling or therapy. It was the adults, because the kids hadn't really created a future or something to live for. They were just kind of, this is it. This is all they know. They don't know anything more. So they were more kind of accepting of the present.
Just thinking though from what you were a second ago, and that flow isn't even my flow, is it? It's genes, it's history. And there's a lovely phrase that they used to use at Bangor University, which was you don't come from a long line of meditators, you come from a line of people who fought and hit and scratched and scraped and got through long enough to breed. And that's kind of that's that flow, isn't it? And then you go, yeah, it's just not my flow.
And it's like apes and deafness and
But it's interesting on the same theme of flow. I was connecting with our flow now as meditators in our journey, the stream that we're going. That you have this sort of central kind of stream, but you have these little streams feeding into it, like our little kind of the practices we do, and we might think, oh, that was just little bit that I did, but all those little insights, a little bit of letting go, feed into this. The mainstream that we're going, and then now and again we might have a big gush on like a retreat or a breakthrough, but every day we're doing a little bit of practice, there are little streams feeding into it. So that's it. I was thinking about it last week. So anyone else on Zoom would like to share before we close for the day? No? Okay. So yeah, so the theme was let's see what arises. So everyone will take something different from today, and it might just be one word that really resonated with you, and that will be actually very pre more precious than if you remembered every single word that I said. So for me, it was more kind of getting a flavor of contemplation, and how sort of, because the flow, like you were saying, the other streams are going the other direction, so we have to continuously contemplate to get our flow going in this direction, and that really is part of the contemplative path that we're on, the part of the meditation, the insight meditation to ripen our heart, so it's ready to let go and it's ready to receive the truth and the wisdom. Before we end, I'd like to share the merits that the goodness that we've collected today with a few people. It's today, because today Martin and Nick are not here today. It's the first day I think I've done without them. And obviously Martin's wife died recently, and Nick is obviously looking after his wife, so busy. For me, it feels like the two of them have been so good at, you know, holding this place, giving us so much opportunity to practice. I don't mind feeling much, but I think their kind of commitment and the time they've given to us is just amazing. I think, like for the monastics, they have their, you know, we're very fortunate that we've had inspiring lay practitioners. A lot of people don't have that to have as role models, because people think, oh, you can't do it as lay people. Oh, that's a common understanding. But we're very fortunate that we've had people like that to in our lifetime, and to have close connections with them. And they've set up this group for us. It's more poignant today because of their absence, because I kind of realized, oh yeah, one day then I mean, they're still alive, but there's going to be a day they're not going to be here. And I think it's nice to show our gratitude for them. And I'd like to share the day's practice with them and their families, and show our gratitude, really. So it's verses of sharing and aspiration. Now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and rigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble guide. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Arahang Sama Sambuddho. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, Buddhang Bhagavantam Abhivadeni. I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. The teachings so completely explained by him, Dhammam Namassami, I bow to the Dhamma.